New York Times columnist John Schwartz has written his new book, This is the Year I Put My Financial Life in Order, for people willing to learn new money skills before it's too late. Sharing both harrowing and hilarious personal stories, from his brush with financial ruin and bankruptcy in his 30s to his budgeted diet of cafeteria French fries and gravy, Schwartz discusses his journey to financial literacy, which he admittedly says he started a bit late. He continues and looks into all of this, everything from investments to retirement and insurance to wills to medical directives. And it's a great pleasure to welcome John Schwartz to the roundtable this morning. John, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Again, the name of the book is This is the Year I Put My Financial Life in Order. So how did you come to this point where you said, oh, okay, it's time?
Well, Joe, I was in my mid to late 50s, and it seemed to me that, I was getting pretty dang old. But more than that, at that point, I was close enough to retirement for it to be a big problem if I had problems, if I finally looked and had problems. But it was early enough still that I might be able to do something about it, add to my savings, make some changes, save more money. Reduce expenses, and so the timing was good, and I just made it a project. I decided to spend a year figuring out what I needed to know, going through it, and doing it.
So, when it comes to the first steps, well, let's go back. Late 50s. Is it ever too late?
Well, I think not. I mean, you know, if you're dead, you're not going to do much. But if
is
if
that right? Are you sure?
Years, well, you know, sources say that.
Don't fake news me now, John.
Yeah, no, I know I'm hitting you with some big stuff.
Here. I know,
but the idea is that, you know, even in your 50s, you can put more money away. If you're still working, if you're still earning, you can put more away to be a little bit of a cushion when you retire. It's not as much as you would have had if you started in your 20s, but it's more than you would have if you put in nothing. And any bit that you can, you know, any bit that you can provide helps. There's an old proverb that says the best day to plant a tree is 20 years ago. The second best day is today.
Yeah. Well, that makes
deep, right?
Yeah, that makes sense. You talk in the book about things like buying a home and getting health insurance and saving for college, and I want to get into a lot of these topics with you. My question, though, is your book obviously is one step, but who should we trust in these various chores? Who should we trust to help us as we move down this road to try to put our financial life in order?
Well, retirement planning is complicated. It's not impossible to learn, but a lot of people would benefit from working with some sort of advisor. Choosing an advisor is something to really pay a lot of attention to, because there are people who, you know, want to sell you on investments. There are brokers that want to sell you on investments that might have more to do with their bonus at the end of the quarter than with what's the very best investment for you, the most appropriate investment for you. They might want to churn your current investments in order to make fees for themselves. What you want, I mean, if you find a broker that you love and trust, you know, great. But my recommendation in the book is to seek out a certified financial planner who is obligated by law to keep your best interests up top and to work from there. Finding advisors, if you're like me, you use an accountant to help do your taxes. I'm hopeless at my taxes. And so having somebody look at your investments, which is hugely important, is probably worth it.
And this is all overlapping, right? I mean, it all comes together. The hip bone connects to the leg bone.
Right, and the money that you make from selling the house is important to add to your retirement fund, and the money that you save for college costs is money that, you know, I mean, that you don't have to pay in loans. And so getting your full financial health is an integrated process. You got to think about more than just this box and that box. You got to put it together.
All right. So let's talk about things like health insurance. And you say some of the questions you have to ask is, do you have enough? Are you overpaying? And the obvious one is that if you don't have it, well, get it.
Yeah, exactly right. We live in a country where if you don't have health insurance, the cost of medicine is such that a huge source of bankruptcies in this country is medical expenses that we can't deal with. And medical expenses, you know, they fall from the sky. You don't know that you're going to get hit by that car. I talk in the book about my wife getting my wife works as a crossing guard. She was hit by a car. Right. She was covered by workers' comp, and we do have insurance. But if we weren't, we could have been among the health bankrupts, people who are knocked out of the game completely by unexpected health costs. And so it's really important to be in there. It's really important to have some coverage to cover your kids, if at all possible. The fact is, fate plays very nasty tricks on us.
And you can never be ready for whatever happens. So,
right. So you do your best. And the point of the book is to talk through these issues and talk about being prepared, but also to tell about the financial mistakes we made along the way, so that people can, you know, maybe looking at it and saying, well, John was really dumb. I think I could do better than that.
What about life insurance? Do we need it?
Absolutely. And the question is, you know, yes, I think we need it. We might need more of it in our 30s and 40s if we've got kids and if the kids are going to be going off to college. You don't want to leave them with not just with grief, but with no way to pay for the next step of their lives. By the time they're out of college, by the time I wrote the book, my kids were done with college, and we had paid off the bills by selling a house, and we had a little breathing room. And so when I looked at life insurance, I found that I needed less than I thought. I'd had a guy tell me when the kids were young that I should be carrying $2 million of life insurance, which I think was a little inflated. But, but you know, he was adamant that I needed $2 million worth of life insurance. I did not do that at the time, and luckily I didn't get hit by a bus. But by the time I'm in my late 50s and the kids are largely taken care of, the amount you need goes down a lot. And then on top of that, you try to save money by getting the rate locked in for 5 or 10 years. You can save a little money by paying once a year instead of monthly. You look for ways to get the most bang for your buck.
All right. So, you know, we talk a lot in this program about grief, about dealing with death and dying, loss. And one of the common themes that comes in this ongoing discussion that I've had with various people for a number of years is that we generally are not good about death. We don't like to think about it. We don't like to talk about it. And that's in a grief sense. But you talk in the book about, even in a financial sense, it's tough to get people to plan their finances for when they die, because there's a sense of, oh, I don't want to talk about that. That'll happen when it happens, and then I won't be around for it.
That's right, Joe. It's one of the big blind spots. Things that make us uncomfortable, we don't want to think about.
Right.
And death is about the most uncomfortable thing there is to think about. I mean, and at the same time, if you hit it unprepared, you're going to leave this family with grief and debt and problems. You've got to focus on these things, but we're in a world where everything else is vying for our attention. It's easy not to think about the things we don't want to think about, because there's a million distractions all day long. I mean, you know, my attention span, once Twitter was invented, I was done. But and work and your kids and everything else you're dealing with. So it's understandable that we don't want to deal with this and we put it off, but that's just an explanation. It's not an excuse. You need to grab it.
When we have just about a minute left, but for all of this stuff and putting your financial life in order, one of the things that you write about, and I just like to end here, this isn't like a year process and then you're done. This is a constant ongoing thing that you have to work on, correct?
That's right. I mean, you have to look at it and then you go back. You write that will and then every 5 years you go back and look at it because the law changes, your life changes. You check your health insurance, you make sure it's still right. You look at those investments and see, is the mix right? As you get closer to retirement, you want a little more conservative blend in there so that if the stock market takes a hit, you don't lose a lot of money at the moment you need it most. All of these things, you set yourself up for checkups.
John Schwartz is the author of the new book, This is the Year I Put My Financial Life in Order. The book is published by Avery. John Schwartz, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program. Best of luck to you.
Thank you.
Thanks again. Again, John Schwartz, author of This is the Year I Put My Financial Life in Order. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.